Hey guys, just before we get into the podcast, we just wanted to let you know that we are currently in the process of fundraising for a short film called Between Sundays. There'll be a link down in the description for you to give, but yeah.
Anything you guys give, we would so greatly appreciate it. And just thank you in advance for all of you that have given already. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into the podcast.
You.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Way UK podcast. My name is Jesse. And as you can tell, I'm joined with Michelle and Xenia. Michelle and Xenia, how are you today?
Good, man.
Which one's which?
Yeah, good question.
It might define.
I'll be Xenia.
Defined by the answer.
Xenia's pretty cool.
No, but as you can see, we are joined by some different hosts today. Two familiar faces to some of you. You might be following them on Instagram, on YouTube. Do you want to introduce yourself? What are your names and mate. Your ministry? What
you
do
go
you
go first, bro?
Is that just because you copped out?
No, you just go for it.
My name is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
And I'm a worship leader on YouTube. So maybe you've seen my channel, maybe you haven't, but I'm not on Instagram, so you wouldn't see me there. I'm 25 and I'm from the Cotswolds.
Hey, guys. My name's Ben. I am 25 tomorrow. I run a page on Instagram called Wooden Spoon Ministry, where I talk about Jesus and make animations and stuff like that. So... yeah, that's me.
Yeah, it's very cool. And my name's Jesse. I don't know. I don't even know how to introduce myself. Yeah, I've never introduced myself.
What are you, an influencer?
I'm 21. I love Jesus and stuff. Do the Way UK. And we have asked Instagram for some questions and some answers, specifically questions for boys. And we've got an abundance of answers. And are you ready to try and answer them to our best ability?
Yeah.
We'll all right, we'll roll in for it. The first one is from a lady named Miss Tremaine. Now, Miss Tremaine is one of our most faithful. Miss Tremaine.
I actually recognize that name.
You recognize it?
She's a fan of my page as well.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should check my subscribers.
Totally recognize that
I feel
name.
Like it's a...
But likes every video consistently.
Really?
Yeah. Shout out Miss Tremaine. Legend.
It feels like you haven't really made it unless Miss Tremaine follows you.
Mate, I totally agree. I hope she sees this. She's going to love this.
She will. Sorry, Sam, you'll get there one day.
Miss as in like Mrs. Tremaine? Like
it's
Tremaine.
Just Miss Tremaine.
As in, oh, okay. It's a cool name.
1981. Cool. And she has asked, besides Jesus, what character in the Bible motivates you to lead others? Oh. It's kind of leadership.
Yeah. Go on, Ben.
Yeah, there's a biblical character that really, really inspires me, and that is David, King David, because he's a man who fell hard. And the thing that he said to God was, take everything from me, but just not your presence. And that really inspires me and my faith.
Mm. Yeah. That's cool. Great.
For me, it's Paul. Mm. Like, not just because I feel like my story is similar to his in terms of rebelling and being in some ways in enmity with God, but also just the radical nature of his ministry and like his zeal, his passion for saying things that other people may not like to hear, but wanted to say them anyway because they were true. And I think as a man that inspires me a lot and trying to understand what it means to embody sort of those characteristics as a man. So for sure, Mr. Paul.
It's cool. I'm a David boy as well. I found out the other day, one of the first things that King David did when he was instated as king over Israel was that he basically set up a worship tent. That's why you've got like some festivals in the UK called David's Tent. which is all about worship.
We love David's Tent.
And I found out the other day that the cost to run this worship tent, which is simply to like basically meet with God and minister to God, was equivalent to $30 million a month. That's how much it would have cost.
How did they work that out?
I don't know. Ask Tim Hughes. But he did.
Okay, it must be gospel.
It must be. Which is crazy. Like he poured wealth into it and prioritized the presence of God. And he gave it away. He was so, obviously he fell a lot and so people don't like him for that. But he did come back to Jesus and he was described as a man after God's heart.
Yeah.
And I want to be a man after God's heart. Mm. You know.
Me too.
Me three.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Got you.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my days. Oh, my days.
Happy birthday.
You got me a Colin. No way.
Happy birthday
I can't believe you got me a collar.
Happy birthday.
Did you know about this?
Nope.
Oh, my days. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colin, thanks, man. Should we eat it during the... No, that's a terrible
should
idea.
Should we both take like a bite right now from each end?
Oh, my
wait,
gosh.
Wait, what about me?
You can wait, I'll go middle. Yeah, I'll go middle.
Sam, okay, Sam, here we go.
I've got the face.
All right,
three,
ready?
Two, one.
Why is this crisp? That looks so
by the way, I didn't know about that. So it was a surprise to me too.
Thank you guys. That's so sweet of you.
I'm going to have to check for chocolate in my teeth now.
I know it's like funny birthdays, but like we genuinely really celebrate you.
Thanks, man.
You've been like an awesome, awesome man. And, you, and like the amount you've poured out on social media that people don't see is like really beautiful. And God's really proud of it. And like I know even this feels like a cost, but you're really where you're meant to be.
Thanks,
and it's all seen. We celebrate him, hey? Big round of applause.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Adams for president.
Guys, next question for us.
All right.
From a man named Nathan Grant. I'm assuming that's a man. How do you deal with having large profiles on social media and not idolizing it?
I think for me, it's easier because I only have one platform, which means my life is very focused on sort of one, it's easier to focus on one thing and also block out a lot of noise because there isn't really any noise. I also live in the countryside, so I think that helps. And I guess that means wherever I am, I just see myself as the same as everybody else. Like when I'm walking down the street, I'm not thinking I'm a YouTuber. I'm thinking I'm just a citizen of this town. So I think that helps. I think if I was on Instagram and TikTok and all of that, I think it would screw my identity a bit. So I think it's just easier to manage because I only have one platform. But on top of that, obviously, that's not always helpful. But I think probably trying not to find my identity in all the numbers or comments or stuff like that, like it doesn't matter. It's just helpful to get feedback that I know I'm on the right path and doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you don't have Instagram, do you?
Uh-uh.
Why? Like you're in your 20s, yeah. You're a man, you're brilliant looking. Oh, that's vulnerable to say on camera. Flirting on camera. But it's true. You're a good looking man.
Thanks.
Like, Samson, the work, cut like those curls.
Anyone would use the opportunity to gain Instagram clout. Mm. They'd use the opportunity to do the thing.
Mm.
But you don't. You actually stay clear of that. Do you mind like telling us a little bit why?
Because of David and his temptation through Bathsheba. And I think there's an obvious opportunity for that type of pride and to get led astray by things which ultimately won't satisfy. Also, for personal experience, like I used to be on Instagram. It's not like I was born not being on Instagram. I had Instagram for a period of time, but there were lots of things that happened in my life where I realized I have an ADHD type brain, which means stimulation, and the algorithm doesn't work for me. So when you're on a medium which is pretty much all visual, that's what Instagram is. It's less about like ideas. It's more about like the way that people look, and that's what lures you in and keeps you hooked. That is not good for my brain at all. And I think once I tasted what it was like to not have it and like the freedom I had and the lack of brain power that it sort of took for me to just be able to be myself and live in the present, it was like you couldn't pay me to be back on it. Like, honestly, if Instagram were like, Sam, I'm going to give you £2 million to come back on Instagram, I would not do it. It's just my conscience.
But Ben, you are on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you also post content.
Yeah.
How do you navigate?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, hey, how the different types of minds work and how some of us maybe feel grace for one space and another for a different platform.
Yeah.
For me, you touched on it. You dropped that golden word in there a couple of times, that identity word. I think where we find our identity is where we find our worth and our value. And for me, I know that my value is not based on any number of followers on a digital platform. It's based in the fact that God loved me enough and thought I was valuable enough to send his one and only son to die in my place. And so when I see that, I know that my worth and my conviction to do my best to walk out a righteous life is because of, it's like an audience of one, me just before God, regardless of any kind of platform or following.
Mm. And how, I'm just going to go a little deeper because I love it.
Mm.
You've both got such different perspectives.
Yeah.
But yet, like, glorify God in such unique ways. How do you just said, like, oh, like, I don't idolize the numbers. You know, my identity's not in that. My worth isn't in that. That's awesome. Mm. I can say the same thing. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I do lots on social media. Mm. Numbers can feel really good. But ultimately, I know that my identity is not in anything that I do. It's fully in who I've been bought to be.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't quite make sense. Let me rephrase it. My identity is not just in what I do, but it's what God did for me
at the
cross. And now I get to step into sonship. I get to step into being a child of God. Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey for me having to separate the numbers and who I am.
Yeah.
Mm. It's been a huge journey. And you've been on a similar journey, Ben.
Yeah, man.
What are some tips to, like, remove the doing as your identity and start receiving the adoption as sons?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even as sons, we're literally sons.
Yeah, yeah.
Great fact.
For me, it's been, if there has been any of that stuff come up, which it has, is to run at God with it straight away. So for me, something that this has looked like is having a video that goes viral and gets 700,000, a million views, and then posting another video which gets 2,000 views, and it's like, oh, disappointment. Mm. and when I catch that, I'm like, what do I do with that? I'm like, oh, damn, I've just found some of my worth and value through a number on a screen. I'm like, what do I do with that? Run straight to God. I'm like, God, I recognize this isn't who I am. Mm. Who I am is not based on this thing, which I've just realized through my emotional response, that is where I was finding some of who I am. I'm like, so this is what my repentance looks like. I recognize that I've done something or believed something untrue, and I'm then aligning myself with truth that makes me free.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going for the rhyme. I guess it kind of
rhymed. Yeah, bro. I mean, they're both true. But yeah, truth sets you free. Yeah. And I find that the harder I run at truth, which is that my value is not in a number of performance or recognition, but it's in Christ who paid that price for me on that tree, that I find more contentment and more peace in whatever the outcome is on social media.
Mm.
Can I also say one more thing?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I think just getting super practical, and I know we're digging deep on this question. I was speaking to my therapist this week about it, actually. It's the idea of numbers don't always qualify quality. They just qualify attraction. And you can have a large following, doesn't mean the quality is good. And I've actually tested this in real life, like where you might see somebody who has loads and loads and loads of followers, and you might create a perception of them online, and then you meet them in real life and they don't have any of the types of qualities you'd want in a friend. And now your estimation of that person goes down massively because you're not judging them, but you're comparing them on a level of like the qualities of an actual decent person you'd want to hang out with. And that then communicated to me, and it made me realize that this metric that we have been pushed into for qualifying out quality isn't actually true. It's not a good metric. Numbers is just how many people the algorithm pushed the thing out to. It doesn't mean that it's actually good. It can mean it's good, but it doesn't always mean it's good. So I think that's something that practically we can try and work into our head. Like, just because this video has gone viral doesn't mean that the thing I said was even right. It's just that loads of people watched it. And I think that's even with our digital culture that we're in now, there's so much like rage baiting, for example. Doesn't mean that the video was actually valuable or good or high quality or useful for your brain. Just because there's millions of people following some random Instagram model doesn't mean that we should be also watching that and following the crowd. Mm. So I think working that out made me detach from the numbers quite considerably.
Yeah, it's realizing the like at the end of the day, the worth is Christ. It's not the number. It's not the random. And when if you find people that do point you to Jesus, that's amazing. So it's worth following that. But you're right. There's rage bait. There's clickbait. Like it. That doesn't, just because it's got views doesn't mean it's God's favor.
The numbers are algorithmic, they're not quality based.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Ben, like rhythms of repentance, because that goes beyond social media. That just goes with any habits that we're dealing with, any sin that we're struggling with, any mindsets that we're trying to break, any areas that we want to improve on. Like, it's just so important to have rhythms of repentance. To move on to the next question, I know that one social media thing had a few branches, but we'll move on. Men, faith, and church is what this is titled as. What Christian men are you inspired by? Inspired by, and why?
So good.
Other than me.
Yeah. just to answer super quickly, like just I'll roll them off. I won't go into any detail. So if you're watching this and you're like, oh, should I follow? Should I watch? This is my stamp of approval, who I would endorse. A guy called Jonathan Pecluda, on Instagram, JP Pecluda, also has a podcast called Becoming Something, and a guy called Derek Mack, who some people may know, on Instagram at Derek Mack. Part of the Circuit Riders, just a really fiery preacher who is unashamedly masculine and also understands his call to serve and to protect and to provide and to lead. So those three.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head in that statement, unashamedly masculine. For me, I go to a small church and the vicar of that church, Quinn, he is that. He's a strong, masculine man that loves mixed martial arts and steak. But he is so gentle and so kind and so tenderhearted and will worship and cry. And then deliver fire and strength. And I'm like, ah, I want to be like that. So yeah, he would be one for me.
Sure. That's awesome. Godly masculinity. We've kind of already gone there. You could assume that we'd go there considering it's a men's podcast.
Yeah,
Before that, I'll just shout out my...
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, do it.
What's yours?
Let's do it.
Who's yours?
At the moment, in fact, for a long time, there's a guy called John Toms that you may have seen on the podcast if you've been around. But for the past like 6 months particularly, I've had a few ups and downs, and almost every single day he'll text me, and I'll go to his house probably 4 times a week and just lie on his couch and just explain my life, and he just constantly makes time for me, and he's constantly affirming like, no, you're a son of God, let's bring you back to Jesus, come on, let's point you here. And he's just so consistent and kind, and I love him a lot. He also lives 5 minutes away from me.
What's the character trait that is key in that? Like, the topic is obviously, the category is like the men, or like the, we obviously talked about like the biblical masculinity or godly masculinity. Like, what would you say the trait that he has that really draws you to him as a man or as a role model?
At the moment, like his consistent faithfulness.
Okay.
That you see Jesus has. Like, he's consistently faithful to show up to people.
Yeah.
Consistently open-armed, and like I see that in John. That's why I love it. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about godly masculinity, because we've had a few questions. One from Thomas Graves: what is godly masculinity, and how do we walk in godly masculinity? I'm really curious about it. I wonder what all of our answers will be.
Can I fire off straight away?
Bang it!
Go. I'm saying this down the camera. Godly masculinity looks like Jesus.
Hey,
yeah.
Yeah,
I had a hard time, really depressed in my teenage years. From probably 13 to 17, was very, very depressed. My parents were very worried about me. Mm-hmm. And at 18, I had an encounter with the love of God that completely changed my life in one day.
And you're not 18 anymore.
No, man. 25 tomorrow.
25 tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So exciting. sticking on the theme of masculinity, you've now been filled with the Holy Spirit, met with Jesus's love 7 years ago, tomorrow, roughly. And how has Jesus shaped your perception of what masculinity looks like?
Yeah. I think the word gentleness actually like is screaming at me right now, because I think a worldly idea of what masculinity looks like is like a strong, powerful, damaging force that hurts weak men and women. And has our culture has coined this term toxic masculinity. And I think I'm not a fan of that, because I think masculinity inherently is a healthy thing, displayed through Jesus, that looks like the fruits of the Spirit: peace, patience, joy, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That's I missed one.
Too good.
And love as well.
Yeah, it's true. It's great.
Yeah, and I think Jesus displays those. Like, shortest verse in the whole Bible, Jesus wept. Yeah, he wasn't afraid to show his emotions. But when it came down to it, he was strong enough to carry that cross up that hill and die for the whole of humanity. Like, masculinity and leadership is not about making all the decisions and getting your way all the time. It's about sacrificing the most for the people that you love. And Jesus is the best example of that that we have.
Oh, that's brilliant. You can quote that, man. We've got some dating ones, but interestingly, none of them are like men asking about dating, but it's actually women asking about what. Yeah. It's like so random. So like, for example, Hope, as a woman of God, brackets, how do I distinguish a man of God compared to like a Christian boy? Like, how do you find a man?
Go on, I know you're burning.
I think that narcissistic confidence can be confused with competent confidence, being one rooted in humility and the other rooted in pride. And it's actually not too difficult to figure that one out if you just start digging and trying to pull out. So say if you're a girl and you go on a few dates with a guy, just ask him about his testimony, ask him about his faith in God, and just see what he says, and see if what he says feels like he's walking in a genuine spirit of love or not. That's honestly all I think I have to say on that.
It's good. I think like it's one of those things where sometimes it does take a bit of time. Like with any sort of dating circumstance, you're not going to know everything about them from one date or two dates or three dates. Who knew that you couldn't get to know the whole of someone's life within a week? It's like sometimes these things do take time, and that's genuinely just part of the dating process. Like it is hard to like know sometimes, like what's confidence, what's arrogance, what's humility, what are they like? But you stick close to someone and the fruit of who they are will begin to show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we have a great understanding of what a godly man looks like because we know Jesus personally.
Yeah.
And we know what the Bible says. Even going back to it, we talked about it a bit already, the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Like
if
you haven't read that, Galatians 5.
Great. Yeah.
Read Galatians 5. Read the fruit of the Spirit and be like, okay, I've been around this guy for three months. I've seen him in friendship circles. I've seen him in a dating scenario. Is he producing kindness?
Yeah.
Is he producing gentleness, or is he lashing out and just calling it like a hard day? Like it's those kind of things that, you know, it's hard to bait. Like it's hard to figure out from one moment.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to give it time.
Yeah. And I think as well, to be honest, like to remember when you're dating Grace, like
who's person, Grace? Jokes.
having grace for the person that you're with, because ladies, if there's any of you watching, I'll be honest with you, if you don't know this,
so they're definitely watching.
Becoming a mature, fully formed man of God is really hard. It's a long journey and it's really, really hard. And there are things, challenges for us that look different to what challenges look like for you. And I don't know what it is to be a woman, so I'm not, will never take away from that, but that's hard as well. But in our society that says to display masculine characteristics makes you toxic, but then to be an emasculine man makes you unattractive and worthless. It's really hard to navigate that and to figure out how to become a masculine man that looks healthy and that does display the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the way too is to just run at Jesus, be taught truth and mentored well, and have friends around you that are trying to do the same thing. But it's a long journey and it's hard. And so it's likely that if you're a woman who's in maybe 18, 19 or early 20s, that you're going to date a guy who's not 100% there yet. And that's okay, because you probably aren't either, but you have grace for each other in that. And that's a beautiful thing.
See how he responds to different circumstances. And again, it's going back to my initial point, like the time thing. you can't find out who a man is within within a week. So sometimes, like, they can be the most confident but actually have loads of insecurity. All the opposite, they can have loads of insecurity, but it turns out they're actually really dependent on Christ, and that can be really attractive.
Yeah, go on. I mean, I feel like the point I raised is tying in both of what you're saying together, because, like, having grace. So say if a guy is feeling insecure about something and he's really praying, but he's still struggling with that, like, you can see his heart posture, and it's the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. And if that man is seeking truth, then the truth is going to set him free.
Amen.
Because faith is powerful.
Yeah.
And so being formed, working out our salvation in fear and trembling is a process, and sanctification is a process. Amen. And it's hard. Mm. It's so hard, but man, it's so worth it. Like, that's why I love David. Like, Lord, take anything away from me, but not your presence.
So good.
Like, Jesus, I'll die for you. Yeah. I'll die on this hill.
No, it's so good. And I've got one more question after this, but the final point I'll say is, like, gosh, I started thinking about the final question and then I forgot my point. Oh, that's how it happens. The Lord's sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Perfection doesn't mean you're, like, away from Christ. That's another point. That didn't make sense either. flapping. Don't know what to say.
That's all right.
You can keep it in.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Keep it in.
My final point was going to be, like, marriage, because I'm assuming that you're looking for a godly man, and I'm assuming if you're a Christian and you're looking for, like, a relationship, you're going to be thinking about marriage. You're looking for a partner. You should be. You're not looking for, like, a hookup. You're not looking for a fling. Yeah. You're looking for, who can I do the rest of my life with?
Correct.
And it's worth just acknowledging that life is really long.
Mm.
It's 80 years,
yeah,
potentially longer. Yeah. And if you're trying to find a partner throughout that, you're going to have way harder times than in your 20s.
Yeah, facts.
You're going to have really tricky times in your 50s. Mm. You're going to have really hard times in your 30s. You never know what life will bring. Yeah. Maybe you'll live perfectly till you're 80, but it's not often the case.
Yeah.
And so you've got to also be like, oh man, is this someone that I can actually adapt with? Is this someone I can grow with? Is this someone who I can just simply commit to because I see something of Jesus in him? Does he just cling on to Jesus? Because ultimately that is what will pull you through 80 years of life together. There's quite a few. I've still got like 8 questions to go, but we're only going to do one more for the sake of time. Okay. Let's go with pride. Because there's a few of those. There's a guy called Byron. I know for me, to go a little bit into storytelling, I was 15 when I started doing TikTok.
Yeah.
And I started
the guitars, I remember.
You remember?
Yeah.
What do you remember?
You blew up on TikTok for looking very good and doing some really cool electric guitar solos.
You were 15 when TikTok, like, that blows my mind. I thought TikTok came out when I was like 22.
It did. I was just 15.
Oh. I'm old.
I was on TikTok. The whole page was centered around me.
Yeah.
Mm. It was, how good looking can I be? How funny can I be? Because that's what will draw in the likes, the subscriptions.
The numbers,
The numbers. And it worked. And that's like the weird tension in it. Like, but I remember being a Christian at that time. It's funny, like, you can call that a time where you walked away from Christ because you're clearly vain. There was an element of vanity, but I remember like being like, but God, like, how do I navigate this? Because this feels really good to get like interaction because of my looks.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
It affirms you, right?
And like, sometimes pride can feel really good because it touches on something in our heart which longs to be seen, known, loved, called be good enough. And the only thing is like choosing to let God do those things for us, not choosing the world to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
And I remember hitting 18. 17, 18, starting doing The Way UK, started like getting a bit of traction on that. And I remember these problems beginning to like stir up in me again. Like, wow, I looked good whilst I was talking about Jesus online. You know, okay, like I asked a really clever question there, and that, like, wow, like look at me go. And like, I began to feel a bit prideful towards it. But this time I wasn't scared of it because it was familiar to me. It was like, oh, I stopped. I stepped back. I looked at my thoughts and I was like, oh, I've heard these voices before and they're not the voice of God. Because I now know the voice of God because I listen to the voice of God. I spend time with the voice of God.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, these thoughts are coming back, but I know that this isn't me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to live in shame because these thoughts are coming in. I think people have a moment where they think a prideful thought and they let themselves spiral because they think, oh man, I've had a prideful thought. Can I even be a Christian? Maybe I should just stop everything and move to a barn and never speak to anyone again. Like, actually, we get so caught up in shame and go spiral rather than just being like, oh, it's normal on some days to feel like a little bit more lean to, a little bit more towards pride and have to kill it off. That's what being a Christian is. It's consistently, daily turning to Jesus instead of turning to old thinking patterns. And so if you feel pride coming up in you, like, I wouldn't be scared and I wouldn't feel shame. I'd just be like, oh gosh, this is going on. Or this is the need for the daily rhythms of repentance. Like we talked about earlier in the podcast. This is why that's so important, because I need to be dependent on Jesus and bring it to him. And so it's like, but I also think false humility is another really interesting topic, because in the name of humility, you can not step into the fullness of what God has called you to.
Right.
I know there's been moments where I've, like, I'm not a big, like, anymore, like, not a big fan of the numbers, not a big fan of being the name, but I do feel God's called me to it for a season. And so I like, at points, could have been falsely humble and be like, oh, anything to do with numbers might trigger an ego, so therefore I should stay clear of it.
Yeah.
And I had to push past it in myself. I had to be like, actually, if God is really calling this, God, are you really calling this? Okay, you are. Then I'm going to trust that when the numbers come, I will turn to you and I won't let ego take over.
Yeah.
And like, you have to recognize like a godly confidence, a godly identity thing,
we're
like a security to step out into that.
Yeah.
And that only comes from spending time with Jesus.
Agreed.
And rhythms of repentance.
And also being humbled. Like, something scary is praying, Lord, humble me. I remember praying that, and literally day after, like, it was crazy. My whole life got flipped upside down. Like, it's a scary prayer to pray, but it's one of the best things to pray. And I think the thing with pride, the problem with pride as a vice, is that it creeps up on you without you often realizing it until it's too late. And often you need other people to call it out. But if you're already prideful, you're struggling because you don't want other people to call it out. That's the reason why pride's so damaging, because it's one of those subtle sins which often you're completely blind to, but other people are aware of it. So that's why you need accountability and you need people who are willing, and you've given them permission to come into your life and say, bro, this isn't right. Like, your ego is getting too big. This is important. That's I also say that pride isn't, it's not a problem about numbers particularly, or thinking you're better than other people. It's more, it's a value issue. It's like what you're valuing. That's the key thing of like the pride issue. It's you're valuing the wrong things. Often it's that we're valuing ourselves more than we're valuing others, which obviously Jesus did perfectly, isn't he? Valued others way more than he valued himself, because he was perfectly God and he still laid his life down and humbled himself. But the key thing to remember is that pride is a value malfunction. So if you have loads of numbers and you're really excited by that because you realize you're impacting tons of people, you're valuing the impact. You're not valuing the numbers. And if the impact is done in a way that's positive, then actually you should be really happy about that and should be praising the Lord for that, because you're clearly doing the right thing and the Lord's clearly working for you, because you're not valuing the fame. You're not valuing the numbers. You're valuing the changes that are occurring on that.
Come on, Ben.
Yeah, bro. I would love to just, on the pride thing, touch on another topic which we haven't really hit, which is like lust and porn. Because to me, these are surface top level issues, like pride or lust or insecurity, feeling not good enough. Like, these are all the top level. And at the root of all of these things is my beliefs about who I actually am.
Identity.
My identity. And the thing is, like, if you're, I don't know who's watching this right now, but to the young guys, like 17, 16 year old guy, if you're watching this and thinking like, I want to be a masculine man of God, but I'm really struggling with pride. I'm really struggling with lust. I'm really trying. I really want to be, but I just can't, because I'm just not good enough. It's like, you have to catch what you actually believe about yourself. Like, I'm saying this to you listening right now. You actually are good enough to stand holy and blameless before God, not because of anything that you've done, but because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross to remove all of your sin and make you a new creation. You've been washed whiter than snow. Like, I don't know if you guys ever find this, but you ever find like, you give in to sin and then you pray for repentance and to be forgiven, and then you mope around wondering if you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, yeah, I just did this thing again. Like, oh, would you please forgive me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a loser. Like, God, please, please forgive me. And he's just there like, forgiven.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I know that? Because Christ is hanging on that tree. Yeah, that's how I know that.
Preach it, bro.
So I'm like, all right, God, I'm so sorry. Done this thing again. Like, I repent. It's like, boom. Thanks for forgiving me. Thanks for fathering me. Thank you for making me a new creation, for making me a true man. And I tell you what, guys, like, the word for us is an overcomer, to be an overcomer. Like, to follow the call of Christ is hard. It's really hard because you're denying everything you were born into to step into a new identity of all new things. That the old has passed away and the new is here. And that's really difficult. But the one who goes before us, who said, follow me, is the one who overcame not only all things in life, but sin and death itself. And if he said, follow me, it means that you can. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't ask you to follow him if you couldn't do it.
So good, bro.
So yeah, you are an overcomer. And you can overcome whatever you're struggling with right now. I just want to say that.
It's good, bro.
Yeah.
So good. It's funny when you're coming into land, you've got like all the final points. That you,
yeah, I'm like, mate, oh, I'm God, like these are fine. I like it's so burning in me. Yeah, yeah. But it's because when I was 17, 16, I was so struggling and so stuck in lust and so broken. And I just needed to hear this. I didn't have an older brother figure. I didn't have a mentor figure. I had no one. It felt like, at least I did. I had my dad and stuff, but it felt like I was so alone. Mm. And the reality is that we're not, really not.
Yeah. That was so good. And I think it's good to recognize that, like, even now, I can feel like that.
Oh, man.
Even now, I can, like, forget that I can just say sorry. Mm. And like, for those at 17 watching, 14 watching, 20 watching, 30 watching, 50 watching,
yeah, mate. It's like, literally.
This is an ongoing journey. We haven't got it, but it's about learning to come to Christ. And and I know for me, there's something you said, Sam, that I like, again, want to just reemphasize, but the need for accountability.
Yep.
Oh, mate, yeah.
It's hard.
I have it every week.
It's hard as guys. Yeah, so do I. I like so meet with a guy.
I'd go off the rails if I didn't have accountability every week.
Mate, that's crazy.
Ben called me while I was in the gym.
Oh, I did, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Like, having men around you, you know, you can just pick up the phone to and go,
yeah.
I'm struggling
right now, help. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's like, it's choosing to make the call.
Mm.
It's always a choice. We have a choice. So let's choose to, like, press into brotherhood. How do you do that? You regularly see each other. You choose to ask difficult questions and you push past the awkwardness. Mm. I do that once a week. You do that once a week. Mm. You do that once a week. It's like, it's so vital.
Yeah.
Finding rhythms of repentance, so vital.
Yeah.
Remembering who we are as sons, it's so vital. Mm. Guys, this has been awesome. Again, it feels like we've got so much more.
I know.
It's the hard thing about podcasts, guys. Honestly, you want to just like pull your heart over and over. But we're coming to land. We've got to finish it. But thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. I'm saying you've subscribed already, so you better subscribe. Thank you for liking. We've got lots of exciting content coming out this next couple of weeks. So do make sure you stay tuned. If you want to hit these guys up, Ben, Wooden Spoon Ministry on Instagram. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Sam.
At Sam Reed Music.
At Sam Reed Music on YouTube. Come for the worship times. You've once listened to Sam's set how many times?
Oh, bro, yeah. I went through a really hard time last year and played your So Good to Me worship song probably like 100 times. It's crazy. Like every day.
That number really goes up every time you tell it.
I know. I said 50 times last time.
100?
150 times.
Oh my God. 300 times.
Going once, going twice.
But yeah, guys, do check them out. They're awesome. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.